On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
Welcome back to the Tall Can Sports Podcast. As we sit here today with Rob across the table.
Hola.
We are marking the 30th anniversary of the first ever Blue Jays game at the Sky Dome.
Fred McGriff, first home run.
I don't know. Could be.
For sure it was.
Do you remember who got the first hit? Do you remember who they played?
They played the Milwaukee Brewers.
That is correct. First hit.
George Brett.
No. First hit.
Kansas City Royals.
Was Paul Molitor.
Okay.
Leading off.
See, that's Milwaukee's George Brett.
Yes. Until he was Toronto's George Brett.
Yes.
There was controversy at the beginning of the game.
Controversy.
As Major League Baseball and the Hall of Fame, everybody wanted the pitch, or everyone wanted the ball. Yep. From the first pitch to go to the Hall of Fame and...
Nobody cares about your big fucking concrete dump in the middle of downtown Toronto.
Okay, well, we'll get to your pleasant memories of the building here in a second. And Paul Molitor allegedly had agreed to take the first pitch that it could easily be, you know, retrieved and set. And they went out to Jimmy Key, who was starting, and he essentially said, yeah, I don't trust that fucker.
Yeah, I'm going to bean him. I'm going to hit him. That would have been awesome. Jimmy Key's not the guy to do that.
No. But he basically said, no, I'm not doing that. Like, we're not fucking around here. I'm going to pitch the way I'm going to pitch, and he should take it, or he should swing, or whatever he wants to do. They said, no, but he's agreed to take it. You can just lob something down the middle or pound a fastball down the middle or whatever, but we want the ball to go to the... And he just goes, no, I'm not fucking doing it. And
attaboy, Jimmy.
Yeah, stood to it. Because this is still fucking sports. We're not talking about the ceremonial first pitch. They want the ball from the actual first pitch. And he throws a curveball in there. Molitor does take it, and the ball gets pulled out. But Jimmy Key, man, right to the fucking end. The building actually opened two nights earlier with like an employee's kind of thing.
And a concert.
But that was the next night.
Okay.
This was like an employee's tour, and here, look, we're going to open the roof.
Because I know Glass Tiger was at that.
Yes, that was the next night. Broadcast on CBC. Alan Thick and some other Canadian chick were there to sing. Again, open the roof, watch it go. Hey, look at that. And it takes like 22 minutes or something for the whole thing to fucking go.
Everyone looking at it?
Yeah.
Or did Glass Tiger do their set?
Maybe.
Maybe by the time we're
done. Did you watch the CBC special of the gala opening of the, and they said like people are there in gowns and suits and shit. Like it was a big deal.
It was a huge deal that.
Cost $600 million, was supposed to cost $135 million to build. So that was,
That's thank you, unions.
But on June, what the hell day is it? June 5th was
today
the first Blue Jays game against the Brewers. I wanted to ask you, because God knows looking back at this stuff is more interesting than looking at today's Blue Jays.
Goddamn right.
Favorite memories in the Dome? A game or two that stood out, or a different event, or something that you went to? You know, one or two that kind of stay with you.
Man, I used to go to a pile of Jays games back in that, honestly, 89 through 92.
Right.
A pile, probably 20 a year. It was just great.
Yeah.
Really, the you know, $4 million a year.
Yep.
Right? Just shoehorning people in there. Used to go down with buddies, even before you could drink, just having a blast.
Well, and they mentioned, there's a great write-up in The Athletic about kind of the history of putting the building together and how it came off and all that stuff. And we'll share it at Tall Can Audio on Twitter. But they said that essentially before it opened...
I think my greatest memory was Colby Rasmus.
Obviously. Anything.
Debut. Really, that's probably it.
We're going to come back to you. I'm vamping for you to be able to think of a better one than Colby Rasmus. But they essentially, before it opened, they couldn't account for every seat. They essentially had the engineers who built the thing say, this is basically what your layout's going to be. But for the first couple of weeks of the season, they had people showing up with, like, tickets. It said section 109, row 24, seat F. I'm like, yeah, that's not a thing. We don't have a row 29, seat F. And so they were just setting up, like, folding chairs in the handicap sections and stuff. Because, you know, the staff were doing the best they could just trying to get everybody in. Like, it's a legitimate ticket, but we don't have that seat. Until they were able to get in and actually map out how this actually came together. And there was some pretty cool stuff, man, that went on in there. I got to tell you, my two favorite memories, I believe I went back and I was searching for the actual date, and it's possible that either the internet is wrong or my memory is wrong. I'm going with the internet is wrong.
Sure.
I believe it was September 2001, and you may remember that there was a 10 or so day stretch in September 2001 where not much baseball was played. But I believe it was September 19th, 2001, against the Baltimore Orioles, where Raul Mondesi hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth to beat the Baltimore Orioles. And I was there with our high school had sent a bunch of people down, and most of them were total losers. And a friend and I were there, and you know her. We walked, like, her and I walked away and, you know, were kind of touring around the dome and getting snacks and stuff. We found better seats down right behind the Orioles bullpen. And that's exactly where... Now, we didn't catch it. It went about three rows behind us. But in the bottom of the ninth, Mondesi walks it off. I don't know what the score was. Like, I don't remember the details. But, well, yeah. It's 2001, right? But
yeah.
But I remember the sparse crowd. You know, they always have school days or high school days. There was probably 25,000, most of them very young, going crazy, right? Jumping up and down for this walk-off dinger in the...
Right, and they probably put you in behind home plate up in the 500s.
Right. So I went to that one. The other one that I remember, this is probably summer 99. It's possibly summer 2000, but I think it's 99. Wrestling at the height of its popularity rolls in there. Now, it's not a Raw. It's not televised. It's just a house show. And the thing that I'll never forget, I know it was Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Chris Jericho in a cage for the title in the main event. And so...
Canada's own.
Sure.
Chris Jericho.
That's right. And... obviously, on TV at the time, he's a bad guy. Stone Cold is the biggest good guy. But now we're back north of the border and everybody's fuck Steve Austin, right? And go Chris Jericho. But because it's not televised, because they don't have all these things to distract you in terms of video packages and stuff like they would on TV, they have to come out and put the cage up before the main event. And so there's some schlub who I don't know if he works for the WWF or works for the Dome, but who's got to put the cage together.
He's your budsy.
Right. So he climbs up into the corner and he's pounding these, you know, cross pins in to hold the cage together in the top corners. And I'm sure you remember back in the 80s, a good guy would get a bad guy back kind of tied up in the corner. He'd step up onto the second rope and start raining punches down. And
one,
the crowd would count.
Two, three.
Right. So as this guy is climbing up to do these cross pins, he does the first one and nothing really happens.
And
but as he gets the hammer, the crowd starts to go with one, two, as he's hammering these cross pins. And he's hamming it up. He's loving it. He's suddenly the star of the show.
Yes.
So he gets around to the final corner and he goes up. And I don't know if he's stopped paying attention or he's intentionally a shithead or whatever. But he only pounds seven times and then jumps down because it's done. It's in. And now the crowd is booing him. He's the biggest heel in the fucking in the whole show. And he's turning to walk and get out of the cage. And then I'll never forget, he turns and he kind of looks at the crowd and he runs and jumps back and says, 8, 9, 10, quick, so that you didn't get to count with him. And then walked out of the building in a crowd of boos. So if he works for the WWF, that was probably his thing, right? He did that the next night in Montreal and then the next night in Quebec. If he worked for the Dome, I don't know if he's just a guy fucking with people, but I'll never forget that as kind of two of my, you know, memories of of the dome that, you know, we've been there for a couple of games. You have been there for a pile. I've been there for a pile. You know.
I was at a regular season game, sort of a late June, probably 92, seeing the Seattle Mariners
right
in town. And again, with it was a school trip. And 91 maybe, sorry. and we're wandering around, and it was jammed, 50,000. So there was no finding better seats. But we were way up in the 500s behind home plate.
$6 a ticket.
And we wandered down, and we were right beside the scoreboard, sort of down in the, whatever that is, the 200s, like close to where the flight deck is now.
Right.
And so we're just messing around. We come down the stairs, and we're up against the railing. Alomar hits a home run, like half a section away from us, right? So there's four of us, and we're looking at this. And then the fireworks go off. I almost shit my pants.
They're like right underneath.
Oh, for sure, man. They're right there. And I'm like, oh my God. And we're all looking at the home run, right? Like, hey, look at that. Bam. And nothing cool about that. If you're on camera, you're like, oof, look at that guy. I remember going to see, as I said to you, I saw a couple basketball games there, not Raptor games.
Right.
Back to back seasons, the Pistons. Once playing the Wizards, once playing the Philadelphia 76ers. Crappy place to see.
For sure.
Honestly, they hang the curtain and it's. But anyway.
They called that the theater.
Yeah.
They did that for the wrestling too. Like, we're not putting 50,000 in here for this thing.
So. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I also. I went to see the Cult play there, the band, the Cult.
Okay, yeah.
I went to see a couple concerts and I remember. And so I'm sitting right down low, not. I'm still in a seat, so down that 100 level, sort of close to the field.
Yeah.
I got so baked. And I wasn't even smoking it. Like, I didn't bring anything. It was heavy.
Pass it around.
Jason Bonham, so the son of John Bonham.
Right.
Bonham opened for the Cult. Super tight concert. Not a lot of, you know, light, you know, no real light show, fireworks.
Yeah.
Just killer music. Not great sound because the dome
stinks.
Not known for.
Yeah, but I've seen a few shows there. They all sound like shit.
But see, I also saw Aerosmith and the Pump Tour in there, and Skid Row opened for them.
Yeah.
And Skid Row, I don't know if I could feel it in my liver. It was so loud in there, right? The tunes and Dirts. Man, more Dirts than you can shake a stick at. Now, I was dirt light, dirt. Right? Yeah, yeah. But man, you're looking around going, Skid.
Yeah.
Skid. Skid.
Well. Yeah, no, the last time I remember thinking anything of, like, you and I have talked before about going down in April of 2015 and it being just fucking dead.
Mausoleum.
And then they kind of go on this run, they make their pickups there at the trade deadline at the end of July, and we go back in mid-August or whatever it was, and they sweep the Twins 4 straight, and now the building's packed and energized and they're back in the wild card.
I still tell you, I started that chant to sweep, 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 and then it's swept through the crowd.
I'm going to let you have that. We're also joining in on the wave, which I've never been able to forgive you for.
Okay. Well, okay, you know what? I don't know what is worse, if it's me doing the wave in that Twins game.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Or if it's you doing the
Olé at
the
GSP.
Olé at the GSP concert.
They are equally shameful.
I think the Olé is way more shameful.
Let us know at Talkin' Audio on Twitter.
The wave is like, that's for ladies and little kids. I get it. The Olé. Well, that's super lame Frenchman stuff.
The most attended event at Sky Dome history is WrestleMania 18.
You and your damn wrestling.
This was right off the Dome's Wikipedia page.
All right.
68,000 outdrew the Pope by 5,000 people as the second most attended.
Did the Pope roll up his sleeves and throw down?
Right.
No. I don't think so.
The Pope wasn't facing the Hulkster in the main event.
Yeah, see, there you go. So. That would have been something. GP2. Versus the Hulkster.
I'd have bought that on pay-per-view.
Okay, so of course who wouldn't?
So that
Krakow's
is...
Krakow's finest.
The 30th anniversary of the Dome and the Blue Jays there. So what are you drinking today, man?
I have the, I think it's King Post ESB from...
ESB?
Yep, from Collingwood.
That's the brewery?
Yep.
Okay.
And so to me, it's an extra special bitter.
Ooh.
And that's what ESB stands for. And so for most of the ignoramuses out there.
For all you Ottawa sweat hogs.
Yeah. Let's get out of the way and let your girlfriends take a look at a real man. Yeah, who are caught up in bitters. And they're like, it's bitter. I don't want to drink anything bitter. It's actually the opposite. A bitter is quite smooth to the taste, usually low carbonation, right? It's that nice entry level to moving up to your porters and stouts.
Right.
So, yeah, if you're looking for a transition point, people, check out your Caffreys, your Flowers, your John Smiths. Those are all fine bitters. What about you? What are you drinking over there?
I am on my last Nova Scotia beer. This is, again, from the Salt Box Brewing Company.
How's your box?
It's not salty. It's so salty. And it is called the Holy Mackerel.
Holy.
Not to be confused by the Holy Mackinac.
Yeah, of course not. Which is a peach, right?
I thought it was a fish, too.
Yeah. No, that's a mackerel.
Yeah, that's what we're doing here.
No, the Mackinac,
yes,
peach.
I think it's all... Anyway, who gives a fuck? It is an English pale ale, and it's pretty nice.
Okay.
Gotta tell you, I wasn't sure, because I don't always enjoy the pale ales, right? And I don't know what
see,
the English side of it means, but...
Yeah, well, that just means it's going to distract you from the actual mediocrity. Yes. Somebody said, why don't you fix your teeth? Well, I don't want to be in the minority. So I actually, in the green room prior to the show, finished the last Purple Grain from Lund's Mill.
Right.
So that's what
we have finished up our, I had, I believe, 16 different beers from Nova Scotia.
Okay. And what was your favorite?
Oh, it was still the very first one, the oatmeal stout.
Oh, it's always Lund's Mill. It's always my favorite. It's always my first. That's not true, actually.
A lot of really good stuff.
I go back to my first, and it's regrettable. And
yeah, for sure. For her, too.
Wish I could turn my back on it. As I did that. Yeah. As I did then.
Before we get into a couple other things, I had a little audio clip I wanted to play for you.
Is it more is it more Sean Avery?
It's not. I wish it was. Now, he's been in the news, but we're going to ignore it because I don't think he knows anything.
He doesn't know shit.
This is, sitting at the podium, Vladimir Tarasenko. At a press conference just before
the Tarasenko show,
game four of the Stanley Cup, might have been just after, but somewhere around game four of the, we haven't even had game four.
No, yeah,
we
are. It's 2-2. It's 2-2, Matt.
That's all right. I'm cutting all this out.
Okay.
It sounds like Frank Saravalli from TSN that's asking him this question. It doesn't really matter. For some reason, the Russian, not quite familiar with some of our English translations here. I'll play it for you.
Vlad, you sit next to Ryan in the room. When a new guy like him comes in and you see how hard he works and plays the right way, how much does that rub off on you and the rest of the team?
What's a rub off means?
It's a fair question.
I'm not sure. Frank,
does that mean in Moscow what it means?
Yeah,
here?
Exactly. I'm not sure. Before I answer this question,
I don't rub off Ryan O'Reilly.
That's exactly
you
right.
Don't rub
and
off
I don't
me.
Want him rubbing off on me. We call that dry humping back home, Frank. Just for, and he's working super hard.
Yeah,
there's grunting and.
So he goes on and reads, you know, what have you learned from him? And they give then he gives the usual answer. But it's just awkward after that. What does rub off mean?
Exactly. Well, I like it with the Bond villain accent. Yeah. What does rub off mean?
So sometimes English to Russian, it's not as smooth as you'd like it to be.
Yeah, some of the colloquialisms.
You wanted to talk a little bit about a rumor circulating around this week that Erik Karlsson might be open to a return to the nation's capital after,
man, and
what a saga.
TSN has gone gaga over the whole thing, right? TSN.ca, it's just...
Initially broken by
Don Brennan. Of your Post Media, which
of,
is Citizen and Sun.
Thrown out of Erik Karlsson's wedding.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That's the guy.
The guy that
Erik
Karlsson hates the most.
Yeah.
But it's taken huge legs. And really, what for those of you who haven't seen it, and I can't imagine anybody hasn't seen it because it's, you know,
right.
It's been a bit of everywhere. is Carlson's wife is who's from Ottawa was terribly homesick last year, and that he would be very much open to coming back to. Now, what I first heard was Eastern Canada.
Yes. The initial report said he's hoping to get offers from Ottawa and Montreal. Now, quickly, because we have to be involved in everything that became Ottawa, Montreal, and Toronto.
Right.
But I don't believe anyone said Toronto in the initial report.
Right. And so, to me, this is just... And so, it's funny that, you know, when he was traded, local sports radio stayed open, stayed up till taking calls till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Right? Just people outraged. Fast forward, the TSN 1200, local TSN radio, yesterday he had a poll, and 65% of people would welcome him back.
That's low, man. If that guy wants to come back here, I don't believe he does.
I don't believe he does either.
But if he does, what's wrong with 35% of you?
I don't want him back.
What's wrong with you?
Well, see, the thing is...
Same thing, reason I won't sign him?
Yeah, well, at this point, there's so many things, right? And let's be honest. When healthy, fantastic hockey player.
Of course.
Like, crazy good.
Well, we referenced it on our UFA show, which is up in the archives at tallcanaudio.com, that when healthy, a top two or three defenseman in the league, at worst.
But
is he ever getting there again?
Right, and beyond that, when you have Shabbat and you have Brännström and you have Willanen, you have a bunch of what he is, much younger, and I'm not sure any of them bring the change room baggage that Carlson comes with.
What is that? What's the baggage he brings?
Well, I think he's a when teams talk about leadership, right?
Yeah,
he's a leadership of one. Right, mm-hmm. It's not like you look at teams and go, yeah, those are the leaders in this room, right? I think he's...
I can think of worse scenarios for this team than having that guy play with Brännström for the next 3 years.
Yeah, you think there's enough puck to go around? Right, there's no surprise Shabbat took, especially in the first half of the season, the sort of the meteoric rise that he did, that he doesn't do that if Carlson's still here.
Sure, but if Shabbat... is playing on one pair, because he's a righty as well, is he not? Shabbat?
Yep, but that's just a matter of
okay.
One guy flipping over. Carlson's played in the left side a bunch of times.
Yep, but I would leave him on his own pairing with whoever you got. I have no idea who the left side fucking guys are. But I would then have...
No one does.
Carlson, Borbyevsky probably. I would have Carlson play with Brännström. This is the thing. I would welcome Carlson back to Toronto for 3 years.
Yeah. Well, see, and I told
you. But that's
you,
not getting it done.
I said, well, really, all this is to me is, yes, I believe that his wife, who, you know, has gone through a bunch of traumatic stuff, as the Carlsons have, right,
yeah,
in terms of losing
sure.
a baby and then the whole Hoffman-Carlson business.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe she was homesick. She's an Ottawa girl, never been far away. And I think somebody was pointing out that, yeah, when you go on a year, when you're gone for a year contract, you don't buy a house, you're renting, you're way over there on the West Coast.
Yeah.
It's like you're on vacation for a whole year. To me, this is Oster, Craig Oster, his agent.
Okay.
I think it
is Oyster.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It's him saying... Yeah, I want to see if I can get some interest here.
You drum up as much interest as you can.
If I can fatten up a couple offers.
Yeah.
Right? If I can get... Because Montreal, who's the last free agent?
Daniel Briere.
Yeah. Mike Camilleri.
Yeah.
Brian Gionta. Right? Who's the last legit free agent that signed in Montreal?
Well, but isn't that the question? Is Erik Karlsson still a legit based on what's happened to him?
We just talked about it and you said yes.
For 3 years.
Okay, but this is what I'm saying is Ottawa...
I like him in Montreal.
Nobody signs
That's
in Ottawa.
That's an interesting fit.
No, well, I like him in Montreal too. It's a better fit in Montreal than it is here.
Yeah.
And so...
If you could unload Petrie, because you can't have that guy playing third pair of minutes at $5.5 million. That's been a terrible deal since day one. But if you have Weber on one pair on the right side and Carlson on the other pair...
Yeah,
one Weber. I don't mind
Weber,
that.
Six more years.
Yeah, no, that's terrible.
Whoosh.
But... I kind of like that for Montreal.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying is if he would go, but to me, that's the agent using Ottawa and Montreal as a place where big-time free agents aren't going to go.
Yep.
Right? And saying...
But don't you think there's a little bit, as I cut you off again, this is a perfect example of, you know, we're seeing it with Patrick Marleau right now. And I hardly want to get into that because I don't know if it's real at this point. But his family's up and gone back to San Jose. And at this point in his career, he came to Toronto to try and win. It didn't happen. And if...
What do you mean didn't happen? He's still got another year in his contract, Matt.
Could be. If he's that unhappy, like maybe things aren't worth it, right?
He's going to get a big fat signing bonus on July 1st, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay, I don't want to get tied down on Marleau. The point is, if his family situation was no good here, and they've gone back to San Jose, and he's happy to then go play in whatever it might be, LA or Arizona or the Anaheim, whatever you get tossing around, I don't know if it's real or not, but I think it's becoming clear with the Carlson thing on top of that. Again, for some guys, there's bigger considerations, and you'd like to think all these guys just want to win so bad that that's the only factor. But if you can get paid well and make your family happy, maybe that's a good enough fucking lifestyle, man. And I don't know, maybe he would come back. I don't think he is.
Yeah, I don't think Ottawa's given him 7 years.
I don't think any team should.
Well, okay, not should is... Should
no, I know.
Is, yeah, you need to remove that because somebody will.
But...
And I think he's trying to use two less desirable locations as leverage.
I think you're probably right. But I'm shocked that it's only 65% that would take him back right now. Because in my head, if it was real, if they could make that happen, that's a ton of goodwill. That's a ton of
And I agree with you that there is a lot of that people say, yeah, that's like instant semi rehabilitation of the reputation,
ownership
out
of the
there.
Management. Yeah,
yep. But to me, on the hockey side, I don't think it makes sense. We don't need him bumping us up four or five places in the standings. Right, next year we're gonna suck again. We need those picks.
Suck again.
Oh, no. Yeah, we need those picks.
Right.
Right? If you want to see this rebuild through,
yeah.
Hey, 31 next year again, baby, with a bullet.
Well, if she's just looking to get back close to home, Buffalo,
Philly,
Detroit,
New York.
Well, even those are, yeah.
Hey, those are hour and a half flights.
Yep.
Yeah, as opposed
Columbus.
To that, as opposed to that 5 hour or five and a half from, yes.
Yep. Boston. He'd fit nice in Boston.
Yeah, I don't think there's room there for him.
There's room, man. All those guys are making less than seven. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak.
But there's just a bunch of them.
Yep. I think they could make that work. But
and so, well, there you go.
I hope
that's one more thing keeping you down, Matt.
For sure.
In your closing window.
Oh, there's enough of those things.
Yes. No, not you personally.
No.
Philly, man. Philly has got to be the dark horse. I keep shouting it from the rooftop, but nobody seems to care. Anyways, I don't want him back. I don't need him back. It's just
the spurned lover.
No. I honestly, I've gone out of my way a bunch of times to say fantastic hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, I think he's a me kind of guy, right? You can't question his heart, man. You look at that.
I can question his groin.
Yep, but that three rounds we went where he's playing on a.
Yeah.
Half an ankle, right? Yep. And you look what he did this year, 16 points in 19 games on
a
groin.
Fuck, yeah. Like he was just beat the fuck up.
Yeah. And so you can't question his heart. I think he's really, you know, about him.
Right. I don't know. You referenced Zaitsev before we came in here.
Well, see, and get, I find this whole Zaitsev wanting to trade.
Yeah.
Why? And right along with you saying Marleau's family's not happy, like, have you heard that from Marleau's family? Or is that just more Toronto?
Well, they sold their home and moved back to San Jose. I don't know what that means, but...
Well, it seems like...
I'm pretty unhappy.
Seems reasonable that...
I can read something into that.
But it's wishful thinking that somebody's going to want to take Marleau.
I agree with that. I've said from the beginning, you're not getting rid of that. He runs the ship. He's got the no move. He uprooted his whole family and came here, his legacy in San Jose, everything to try and win a cup. And now that Toronto is as close as they've ever been, however close you want to think they are, why would he bail on that now? I don't think you're getting rid of Marleau. The Zaitsev thing is strange. And
well, because Marlowe and Zaitsev, there's your Marner money right there.
Oh yeah, we're set up. We're getting Carlson. Well, this is, get rid of those two.
This is what's what I'm saying, right? No Gardner coming back. Maybe you can fit Gardner in there too.
Sure,
if you can get rid of that $11 million bucks. Because it's
and
what
Connor
it is.
Brown's
is,
2.1.
Is it not 6'5 and 5'5? Is that not what they are?
No, it's 6'25 for. It's either 6'25 or 6'75 for Marlowe. I can't
Krav's
remember.
Way
it's
off
probably
7'5. Man, oh, okay. What a fucking idiot.
But Zaitsev's is only 4'25.
Okay.
But it's long. Well, that's a like there's five
that's
more
a substantial
years.
1.25 off.
Right.
I agree.
But it's long. That's the problem. Like, when he first came over in his rookie year, he put up 36 points. Is that anything to get super excited about? No. But he was fine offensively.
But he's also 26 or 27 at the time, right? Because is he not 28 now?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's
but ever since then, once they, like, that was Babcock still teaching Marner, or Marner, Morgan Rielly defense. You don't get to play the power play. You don't get to do any of that stuff.
What is rub play. Off?
Yes. And once they decided Rielly was ready, Babcock tried to turn Zaitsev into the stay-at-home guy. And it hasn't worked. He's not big enough to be strong in front of the net. He has a terrible time breaking the puck out. He can carry it if you let him skate. But he was quoted in a Russian newspaper the other day saying, as soon as we get to the offensive blue line, I'm supposed to go off because I'm the defensive guy.
Yeah.
That's all not right. his game, right? And yeah. he was fine as an offensive guy, but Babcock doesn't want to use him that way. So the length of the contract is rough, but he showed something offensively. He's a right-handed defenseman, showed he's capable of putting up 36 points. I don't know. Maybe you can get rid of that guy.
Or you will flip that guy.
Yeah.
Somebody will want that.
I think so. I think you're stuck with Marlowe.
But it is. Somebody's going to have to. I'm not sure somebody is going to immediately want to take that without the pot being sweetened.
Could be, man. It sounds like Vancouver is, and I'm willing to trade with Jim Benning any day of the week he wants to talk.
Well, unless Dorian's going to pony up, because that's another great...
But there's talk that guys are interested, and I wonder if it's just that he's, you know, his. I don't know what this stuff is worth in terms of him being unhappy and requesting a trade. His wife used to be super active on Instagram, and then she just stopped. And if you go back and you look through some of the comments of Leaf fans who say not nice things,
okay,
maybe they're unhappy. Maybe she's taking a shit kicking, right? Like,
what's with that boil on your face?
Well, it's like Jay Gardner, who had another rough Game 7. Now, this time, I'm willing to give him a little bit of a pass because it wasn't as rough as the last one, and he was only playing
Dash
at like 60%.
That's on his license plate, actually, ladies and gentlemen.
Ultimate troll job. I'd actually love him if he would do that. But the thing is, his back's fucked. He's got to have surgery. No one's saying that until after he signs the UFA contract, but he badly needs surgery. And he wants to stay. And he would take a hometown discount to do it. But the
you're
way
talking
you,
about Gardner?
Yes.
But oh, the see, way that sounds you, that sounds like a Minnesota Wild issue right there.
But the way you get that hometown discount is stretching out the years. And that's exactly what I don't want. I don't want that guy for 8 years. I want him for maybe three more. But that costs you more on the cap, and now you can't make it fit. If he was willing to take the hometown discount and the fewer years, I'd be happy to keep that guy.
So if you don't have Gardner and you don't have Zaitsev.
Oh, Callie Rosen's going to be great, man. Don't even worry about it.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome.
All right. And then you have Mason Marchment up front. I think he's going to just fold right in there and be awesome.
Don't even worry. No problem.
Undrafted everywhere he goes, but yet he's going to be the answer to your woes, Mike
yep.
Babcock.
For sure.
You don't know shit.
Me or Mike? Let's just carry right on. Announced this week, the Oakland Raiders... Will host the Green Bay Packers in Winnipeg for a preseason game this summer. I believe it's in August. It has to be in August. It's a preseason game. I'm not shocked, I don't think, that the NFL... There's been some talk for a little while that they might play a game in Saskatchewan. It seems more likely to me, or it would make more sense to me. I guess it doesn't really matter, but the Green Bay would be... the home team, although I know Oakland is, you know, sort of between homes
kind
right now.
Kind of in flux. Where am I going?
So maybe it makes more sense for, in terms of, you know, revenue and shit, for them to be the home team and let Green Bay still bring the fans, because out on the prairies, that's kind of the closest
yep.
But they're charging the average ticket price. We haven't seen the entire thing, but the average ticket price for this preseason game in Winnipeg is $200 a head.
Man.
What is your level of interest, first of all, in an NFL preseason game? I know the kind of the prairie provinces are known to be more invested in football.
Well, they're invested in their football.
Yes, I agree with that. But at $200, so that means there will be some cheaper tickets, but there will also be several much more expensive. We saw the Bills in Toronto thing that involved regular season and preseason games at similar money, to be honest with you, and sometimes much higher in Toronto. I'm just not interested. If I lived in Oakland and was a hardcore Raiders fan, I'm not paying $200 for a preseason game to see my starter play one quarter.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like what they're doing here and, you know, reaching into Canada a little bit and trying a little more, but this already seems like it's going to be a bust, doesn't it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, fuck you.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, because we're not talking, we're talking about the new field there in Winnipeg, which escapes me the name of it.
Is it Investors Group?
Investors Field.
Or is that Saskatchewan?
Nope. Is that not still Mosaic? It's still Mosaic.
Mosaic Stadium. I thought it was Investors Group Stadium in Winnipeg.
Okay. Well, and I thought it was Investors Field.
Either way.
So, okay. We're going to go with that.
And they had to punt a soccer game out of there that night.
Okay. I think you're talking less than 30,000.
Yeah.
Right? And my initial, when you said this to me, because I heard nothing of this until you dropped it on me in the green room.
Dropping bombs.
And I'm thinking, why wouldn't they choose Saskatchewan? I get how they want to go.
They wanted Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan didn't want them by the sounds of it.
Well, and the thing is, if they can in some way get into the local Winnipeg community, that is the loudest stadium. The way they've built it, you're right on the field there. I think it's and I'm sure 98% of Americans have never heard of Winnipeg, those who aren't hockey fans, right? Have no idea where Winnipeg is. And you're like, look at these fuckers with this stadium and shit.
An hour from the border.
And they're cheering and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chicago of the North is what they actually call it.
Ugh. Chicago's like, hey, fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of second city, it's 14th city. But that's okay. But yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. And I firmly believe that Winnipeg, who's not going to get, like, this is a prime Vancouver, Toronto thing, right? They'll accept this. I believe this will be embraced.
It's too expensive, man.
Hey, man, you're talking about in a time when people paying $80,000 for courtside seats to an NBA final game, or $110 at Oracle.
They're not in Winnipeg.
Okay, $200 is to me. Everything seems totally fucking out of whack now. So $200,
yeah,
for your average seat. How many people in Winnipeg are going to get to see NFL football?
Here's Aaron Rodgers for 9 minutes.
Well, they'll be lucky if they get to see Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, this is the thing, though. Like, what are you bringing? Because you don't care. You're not trying to entertain your own fans.
I'm bringing it right now.
So there's no chance you get me to pay that. $40 on the day of. I'll show up.
Scalpers, baby. Yeah, exactly. Scalpers.
And the building's half full.
I think it'll be full.
Okay. But we will keep an eye on that.
I think they will wickedly embrace this. And you know, if one of the two teams can get in there and the fans can embrace them, I think it's great to have, whether you're having half the game will be played by, you know, scrubs.
I agree with that. You are
looking at Raiders, Packers. Those are two cornerstone franchises of the NHL, of the NFL.
It should be the Packers that are more interested in getting in there than the Raiders.
Sure.
Just based on proximity.
Well,
right?
They play in Bumblefuck, Wisconsin. So why would they not embrace
Bumblefuck, Manitoba?
This is it. Where are you going to? Upper Rubber Boot? Yeah, like this is it. So I agree with you, but I think it'll do well there. Is it expensive? Yeah, for sure. But these people are football crazy.
Were you surprised to see that the league, the Canadian Football League, has taken over the Montreal Alouettes this week?
Not really, because I think it's like, you know, when you take a shit at a party.
Only you do that.
And you sort of go, you open the door and there's somebody waiting. You're like, oh, that was that was somebody before me. Well, why is it so humid right now? Like,
why are you sweating?
Yeah, and why do you not have your shirt on? Busted! That's what the Alouettes are to the CFL right now.
But how fast, eh? Like, that was a model franchise right up until Anthony Calvillo retired.
Well, because, hey, just take a look now. Hey, MLB, take a look over here, right? You want to build a new stadium in downtown Montreal. Fickle.
Yeah.
Fickle Montreal fans. This is it, right? And so when Anthony Calvillo's there and they're killing it, right? And they have, what was that? I can't remember that running back's name. Josh Pringle, right?
Mike Pringle.
Who's Josh Pringle?
I think he's nobody.
I think he's a local CGOH guy here. Yeah, but Mike Pringle, 3,000 yards or whatever he was killing it with. Great. People were loving it, Percival Molson Stadium there, right?
They're you mind. Ben Cahoon, long time. Stay-at-home guy there. Putting up, you know, 15-win season after 15-win season.
Well, now with crazy concussion problems.
Well.
I don't know that to be true, but, man, he took a lot of hits, that guy.
Fair to assume, yeah.
But, yeah, they were killing it. And the Montreal fans.
But to go from that to sold to the league, like, Bob Wetenhall was the owner there forever, right? And built that into something. They were playing for a while. Well, where were they, down in Baltimore? Or?
They came from Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah, and then he brings them up here, I'm pretty sure, and turns Molson Stadium at the university into like a really,
McGill.
Yeah, really cool place to be, like a model. Like, wow. you turn this into, hey, this is how you do this. You stop trying to fill the dome or whatever right. the fuck Toronto's doing.
The big O.
You get to 21, 22,000 seats, and you make it hard to get tickets now.
The place to be.
And it's awesome on a Friday night. And for a long time, it was. And certainly, winning was a huge part of that. And they were successful for, like, a decade and a half.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I get it. But to go from that this fast to the Wetenhall family just throwing the fucking keys on the table and saying, it's your problem now, right, to the league.
Yeah. Well, it just shows where that's at, right? How poorly it's supported.
Believe Johnny Manziel didn't save them.
Well, how about they flip half the future of the franchise for him. Manziel, and then he's like, meh.
Yeah, I'll see. I'm going to the AAF.
I'm
gonna
go.
Oh, no!
Yeah, one game in the AAF, and then they fold. Johnny Manziel is just fucking things wherever he goes.
It's true, man.
So, no, but they'll find, honestly, I think, Gillette or Molson, they'll look into the...
You think?
Or the owners of Jean Coutu. No. One of those people will just go, yeah, all right.
Bronsons who are trying to bring baseball back.
I'll see what's in my couch.
Right. I'm surprised, man. I didn't think it would happen this fast, but it is cool to see that the other eight teams have gone from owning the Alouettes on the field to owning them in reality as well.
Yes. So. Well, and we'll see, right? Because
No. You're not thinking that little of the Red Blacks, are you?
No. Okay. We're going to go down and smoke them this weekend.
Sweet. We'll get into a little more CFL talk as the season approaches. Hopefully, it looks like, with our buddy AJ Jakubek.
Return of the man.
That'd be awesome.
The voice of the Red Blacks.
Looks like we're going to be able to make that happen, so stay tuned to our social media feeds. We'll put that out there when we're ready. On Saturday, we're going to do another Raptors show with Matty Lang. That'll be in between games 4 and 5. We're about to see tonight, as we record this, it's, you know, we're not going to get too into this because game 3 is just hours away. What have you seen so far in the series as, much like me, a guy who's sort of, you know, watching as a... as an ignorant basketball fan, or
absolute, and I always watch a bit in the playoffs, right? You sort of tune in for a bit. Basketball rarely catches me,
right?
It rarely hooks me in. What I like about being, and I'm kind of invested in this Raptors run. I haven't bought in as heavily as everybody else has, certainly as much
I'm
as
all
you
in,
have.
Yeah.
What I like about it is I like how close the fans are.
Yep.
Like, really just how tight that is.
Yeah, there's no glass in between, right? There's no helmets.
They're not wearing helmets, exactly. Yeah. I like how hyped it is.
Yep.
Like, to me, I'm watching the player introductions. I love what basketball does with the starting five, right, for the home team, right? They give your Universe. They give your height and they give your university, right? Where you, you know, where you've come from. I like what Toronto does with, you know, the big boss from Barcelona, number 33, Marc Gasol. Like, it kind of gets you.
Yep.
It gets you fired up.
Have you
right?
noticed? I don't know if they do it here in Ottawa, and I know Toronto hasn't been the first to do it, but in terms of the Leafs, they've started doing John Tavares out of Oakville, Ontario, and, you know, out of.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I just saw in the.
Out of Denmark, Herning, Denmark.
Yeah,
you
of
know,
course.
Frederick well, Anderson. And so they're trying to sort of rep. It's never the same because the lights are down and the glass and the mask and all that kind of shit. But they're sort of trying to invest similarly. I don't know if Ottawa's doing the same, but I have seen it more and more around the NHL. Toronto's well, certainly not.
And I like what they just did in the NHL finals, game three, the first game in St. Louis, right, when they announced the starters, right? And,
yeah.
they're talking about, and you have the...
Out of Sault Ste. Marie.
Yeah, you have Ryan O'Reilly, who I believe is from somewhere in Saskatchewan. You had Shen out there.
He's for sure Western Canadian.
He's Saskatchewan as well. And then you had Tarasenko from Yaroslavl or wherever he's from, right? But you have these two Russians, and then you had the two Canadian guys. But they were giving where they were from,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then the goalie from,
so that's what the
from
Leafs
Richmond
do
Hill, Ontario.
Yeah. You can't
Binnington.
It would be better, I think, it would be better if you could hit all of their junior hockey and university.
Yeah,
but
well,
some of the Euros don't have that, right?
Okay, but that's what they say. They just go, you know, like Marc Gasol was, the big boss from Barcelona.
I like it.
I like it too, and that's what I'm saying.
Build the individuality of it a little bit, right? Hockey needs that. You got to build some more stars. Stop being so fucking...
Well, and this is what the NBA does so much better than the NHL is they are a star-driven... Now, you know what? The NBA... One player can make the difference for
you. For sure.
Doesn't
We're
happen.
Looking right at it.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. Doesn't happen in hockey, right? In terms of...
Sort of maybe a goalie now and then.
Right. But it's star-driven for sure. And the NHL could learn from that, right, in terms of selling its star players.
Yeah.
Right? And the NBA players are much more social media active.
Well, that's it. In hockey, there are all these... little white kids who came up under my team this and if we all work together you need a little more it was fucking me man right like I did that
no and you got and you got what's his name Draymond Green as soon as LeBron's kids on Twitter you got Draymond Green dropping F-bombs on the kids on the like he's trolling LeBron's kid right and you're like
love that
okay but that's the NBA versus and he's I guess Draymond and LeBron are sort of tight, right? So it was in jest mostly.
I don't need the hockey thing to go as far as the NBA.
No, for
but
sure.
But I needed to
for
get
sure,
the
no.
fuck out of what it is right now. In
you
terms
need more
of,
Sean Avery.
All right.
Yeah, so.
He's making sweet trades for my team right now.
Yes, he is. I've enjoyed that. I've also enjoyed how digestible the game is in terms of the length of it. Like, at 48 minutes?
But... The last
okay.
This has always been the thing. It's still 3 hours.
I find it quite digestible in terms of now. You're right. The last 3 minutes of a game is boring as fuck.
It's still almost as long as an NFL or an NHL or MLB game.
So, but I look at it and go, hey man, the first quarter's over. Hey, boof, we're at halftime.
Yeah.
So to me, it motors along quickly.
I wanted to ask you because we started to see. And if you were capable of doing any kind of math whatsoever,
nope.
Good listener. In 99, 2000-ish, we're watching Vince do his thing. And about 10 years later, hey, look, there's Wiggins. Hey, look, there's Bennett. Bennett turns out to be a bust, right? But now we're seeing Boucher and who is it this year? RJ
Barrett.
You're seeing
the Josh
Canadian kids getting drafted who clearly grew up in a Vince or post-Vince era where basketball was cool for a little while, right? And it certainly had a huge effect in the GTA, but also across Canada. I don't know if at the time Vince Carter was the best player in the NBA, but he was the most exciting. He might have been the biggest superstar for a little while.
Well, that Air Canada thing.
Yeah.
And if you look at the Sydney Olympics, and we just talked about this recently.
And he fucking dunks over that French.
Seven-foot French guy.
Right. So
bag in the face.
Right.
There you go.
I don't know if he was the best player in the league, but he was doing some crazy shit that everyone was watching. and it translated not too far down the road into a surge in Canadian kids being good at basketball. And even if they weren't getting drafted, you were seeing them in the March Madness and shit like that. I wonder, this is a much shorter run. I don't know if Kawhi is going to stay or not. You're on record saying he's not, and that's fine. We'll see. But is this one getting this much more attention?
Although TSN 1050 is saying
he bought a home.
He's bought property in Toronto.
Yep. This one is a much shorter run, especially if he leaves, but it's getting 10 times the attention.
For sure.
A global stage, and everyone's talking about it. You're seeing now these Jurassic Parks across Ontario especially, but in other parts of the country as well. Do you think this has the potential to have the same effect that Vince did, or does it have to be longer?
No, it does not have to be longer. To me, that if you've seen the Netflix, the Carter Effect.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Okay, this has what you've seen there. The GTA now, and to a lesser extent, what's starting to happen in Montreal.
Yes.
In terms of being heavily recruited, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now Canadians are second only to Americans in the NBA, which is unheard of.
For
really.
Sure. The Spanish and the Argentinians, yeah, for a long time.
Just how on the Italians. Come it is. This is going to take all that good stuff and just...
It's being jet-charged right now, man.
Drive it forward.
Yeah.
And I think you'll only see all the really good stuff that's already happening in the GTA, especially.
Yeah.
It just explode even more, if that's possible, than it already has. That's my belief anyways.
I saw somebody who was reporting, it was one of the Raptors guys, I don't remember if it was Doug Smith or it doesn't matter, that said this looked a lot like this is probably the most international media that's been in Canada for a sporting event since Vancouver 2010.
Yeah, well, and
like this is everywhere, man. Australia, China, Korea, across Europe, the NBA, yeah. Brazil, Argentina. Basketball's huge. It's one of those sports, a lot like soccer. You just need a ball and something to throw it in,
yep.
Right? You don't need big football pads or hockey equipment or whatever. This
or,
is the second
or an arena to play it on.
Right. This is the second biggest sport in the world, and so Toronto is suddenly on that stage. And I don't think, you know, Toronto, the Raptors were at best second. And maybe the third best or most popular team in the and now suddenly the whole world is watching. Most of them have no fucking clue what the Leafs are, right? Yeah. Or the Blue Jays for that matter.
Yeah. Well,
you're on the world stage now, man. I think it's huge.
This is absolutely in terms of it still hasn't touched. Are you surprised that it's still numbers wise on television in Canada hasn't touched that sort of 2015, 2016 Blue Jays run? In Canada, I'm talking about now.
Because the numbers are also way down in the U.S., but that shouldn't shock anybody only have one American market.
But it has closed in on the Blue Jays. So it's really...
It's getting bigger and bigger. We were up to 6 million in the last one.
And they hadn't...
It's 5% of the...
And we talked about it. We knocked it around, right, in terms of celebrities and who were you going to see, right, and who did you not want to see.
Pinball, man. That was awesome.
your pseudo-Canadian celebrities or whatever else. But, man, there was some big...
Barack Obama was
Barack Obama in there. And I'm
looking
not sure,
smooth, man.
Well, okay, but the dude is smooth. That's
for sure.
And so he's cool as a cucumber in a bowl of hot sauce. He is, and to me, I don't know if you can get a bigger celebrity. Now, he was in Ottawa on the Friday night speaking, right? I think he's doing his tour.
I think he was over a Big Rig afterwards.
With Trudeau.
With Trudeau having a pint. Love that, man.
Exactly. And so, you had Rory McIlroy and Sergio Garcia were in the house.
Yep.
Because the Canadian Open this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, in Hamilton. So nicely timed.
Yeah.
Right? But these are legit.
A-listers.
A-listers, right, in the house.
So when we've seen Terrell Owens, we've seen, forget Drake and what now he's been, I'm kind of over the Drake thing, but seeing him wear the Del Curry jersey out for game one was sweet.
Yes.
That's an ultimate troll job. Love that.
Del Curry was loving it too.
Yeah, it sounds like. So I don't know. Look, I've been
enjoying it.
Yeah.
I will enjoy it tonight. And, and now again, ladies and gentlemen, while you're listening to this, the game is done.
Yeah.
If the Raptors don't win by double digits tonight, there is trouble.
Well, yeah, we're no Durant. And it looks questionable for Thompson.
And then Looney is out.
Looney is out for the series as well now too.
And you're like,
Durant's coming back at some point. You better grab one. Durant is not going to play in this series. Okay. My prediction, which I said to Maddie on one of the earlier shows, again, as a neophyte who has no fucking idea, was that going into game two, if the Raptors had won game two, Durant would play game three.
He hasn't even done a practice yet.
If they lost game two, it would buy him a little time and he would play in game four. I do think he'll play. I think he's just making it dramatic. That's what he fucking does.
Yeah, but see, to me, he's already won a couple there.
Yep. He's getting ready for his big Knicks debut.
Honestly, he's gonna hit the Knicks or wherever he's gonna go.
Yeah,
he is not coming back in this with his calf.
Well, I hope you're right.
He hasn't practiced in a month.
Yeah, well, we'll see, man.
So to me, I he's not coming back.
For a little more in-depth actual basketball knowledge,
basketball knowledge,
we'll allow Maddie Lang to carry that in between games four and five this weekend. So you can look for that at TallCanAudio.com or wherever you get your wherever you're listening now. It will be. I think that's all I got, Matt.
Well, okay, but you, my friend, have or have not been watching the NHL final?
I watched a lot of game.
Large portions.
Four. Almost nothing before that.
Man, I have been, for a guy with no rooting interest in this, this has maybe been the most exciting.
Oh, man.
Well, God, you know what? Exciting may not be the right word.
It's not.
But I am totally locked in to this final, right? I find it super intriguing. I find there's no flow from game to game. Who's going to win? I left game one going, that's going to be a Boston sweep.
Yeah.
And then after game two, I'm like, holy, St. Louis is going to run them right out of the barn. 7-2 in game three, and you're like, oh my God.
Settle down a little.
Okay, but.
You crazy pendulum bastard.
Well, but that's the series. Honestly, it's been, and now I left game four going, all right, no Grizzlick, probably no Chara. And you're like.
When is game four?
That's tomorrow night.
Okay.
So as you're listening to this, good listener.
Thursday night.
You are getting ready.
Yeah.
For game five. In Boston.
Game five.
And so Chara not playing.
Shattered face.
Yeah.
That's
now,
rough.
You know, honestly, that big freaky Frankenstein mofo, right? Like, can you imagine?
There was a reporter today who tweeted out, Bergeron says they haven't seen Chara today. And someone immediately, the first comment underneath is, have you looked under a lampshade? Like this. And then, of course, there's 1,000 underneath. Oh, I think he's standing behind the whatever building. Stupid shit.
Right? Okay, but this is it. I just haven't seen his face right. In the clouds. So those sorts of things, right? But he's not coming back either, right? And so if they're dropping in,
Clifford's going to play, obviously.
Clifton,
they haven't been happy with Jeremy Lozon, but there's a chance he's going to have to play.
Well, I can't remember what the guy's name is, but they're also talking about the Finnish guy.
Yeah, Valkanen or something like that.
Vakanainen.
Sure.
But they're looking at going with 7.
Now, he was the one who practiced today. It was Vakanainen.
Yeah, and he's the one that got blown up in Ottawa early in the season. That's where he got concussed.
Yeah, we all remember that.
Yeah, okay, but I do because I was watching it.
The only good thing that happened.
And we got that guy.
Not for Vakanainen, it wasn't a good thing. But yeah, this to me is, if you look at what St. Louis did to Winnipeg, what St. Louis did to Dallas, what they did to San Jose.
They wear you down, man.
And just grinding on you.
Well, and it's clear Bergeron's not right. Like, although, he's battling,
man,
something.
After game two, I'm like, he's not taking those draws. He's clearly hurt. 35% on the draws. And then he comes out and kills it.
Yeah.
In game three. And you're like, what the fuck? I have no idea what's happening here.
I still don't think he's right, but.
Okay, but honestly.
Maybe only 70% of them.
To me, there's nobody who gets shot up with whatever it is or bandaged up that you look and go.
Remember the 2013 run where they lost in that crazy game six to Chicago? Chicago wins the cup and it comes out, oh, I played the last two games with a punctured lung.
You crazy fucker. What are you doing?
Well, he's a killer.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. Bergeron's a stone cold killer.
We talked about this on a recent pod. Your most hated team, if you had to get a jersey from him. I was like, yeah, it's probably Bergeron.
Right? Well, see, but he's one of my, yeah, he's a top five in the league for me in terms of guys that you love.
But it was most hated team. favorite player on your most hated team.
Right.
So for me, it was.
And now watching the pregame or during the game, game four, right? And you see him, he's wearing a ball cap.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys, you're like, don't wear a ball cap, man.
No, it doesn't look good.
You look fucking like, you look like my grandfather. It's like all the front of it.
Punctured lung and all.
It's all high and you're like, it hasn't been worn down. You're like, it makes you look like you got like 6 foot head. Don't do that, man.
So it's 2-2 headed back to Boston. What do you got, man? Where's this going?
Well, you know what? You did the picks and I'm not an Instagram guy, so I have no idea whose picks were where.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm sticking with St. Louis and six, man.
I think I took Boston. I'm almost positive I took Boston. But like I said, I've been barely in case. Look, part of this is it's a team I hate versus a team I don't care about. And my fucking Leaf hangover is just lasting way longer than it normally
Well, see,
does.
But I stopped watching Senators hockey in January. Yeah, so to me, it's been good. Like I've really enjoyed.
You've had time to get over it.
Yeah. Like honestly, since Kunitz's puck went
yeah,
in
exactly.
2 seasons ago, right? You sort of went, all right, and I got nothing to watch in between that and now. So I've been thoroughly enjoying this cup final.
I will be fascinated to see at the end of it what Sportsnet's ratings look like compared to year over year, just because of the Raptors thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be fascinated because the Raptors are setting records for them.
Yep.
And I wonder how much of the same audience they share, or is this a different audience that's tuning into the Raptors thing?
Well, this is piquing me, and it's driving me straight into trade rumors and talk and the draft and blah, blah. To me, it's great, man. Great June. Loving it.
With that, we'll wrap it up. Give us a follow on social media at Tall Can Audio. We're going to try and be back, like I said, between games 4 and 5 with Matty Lang for some more Raptor stuff. We got an all-new audio Whiplash. It's going to drop later on this week. You're not going to want to miss that one.
Certainly not.
Yeah. We'll see you.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.